I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to Roastcast, the number one bachelorette recap podcast, hosted by a male and a racial best friend duo. Halfway through the season, AB.
Halfway mark.
A lot of people are gone now that we thought might not be gone at this point.
The guy said it. It was a bloodbath out there.
Indeed.
A lot of people gone. What did we lose? Five?
Five.
Five people. Wow. Mm-hmm. Is Hometowns next week?
Hometowns would be episode 8. So I think in 2 weeks.
Okay, two more. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious who's getting those hometowns too, by the way.
All four?
Yeah. Mm. I think there's, we'll get to the end, but there's like six or seven guys left. I think there's seven guys left and like two of them we haven't even seen on the screen.
Yeah, I mean, two of them are a joke.
Two of them are quota fillers.
I think there's a couple that could end up in that last spot, but yeah, there's a couple guys. It was like, okay, Katie wants to get rid of 8 people tonight, but we have to tell her she can only get rid of 5.
Episodes, yeah.
Let me just say, I really enjoyed this episode, start to finish.
Why is that?
Just exactly what I'm looking for in a Bachelor episode. Okay. You had unexpected people leaving. You had a little bit of drama. You had 3 dates. And you had a rose ceremony.
AB needs those 3 dates for a rose ceremony.
That's what I need. I just really enjoyed it. And there's a couple twists and turns I didn't see coming along the way.
I think if this episode was missing anything, it was there was kind of a lack of fun. Every day kind of had like a dour note to it. Canceled cocktail party. Canceled second half of a date. The dates themselves were either too serious or just kind of... Well, there was just a missing element of fun. Like, toss these people in a helicopter one time for me. Can we do something fun one time this season?
Well, there's a lot of Greg this episode, so that might have something to do with the lack of fun.
It's going to be a long season if you don't like Greg.
Moving on.
Long second half. All right, to begin the episode, Caitlin, Tayshia, and Katie. Katie says there's more than one guy she feels is strong. I think I have bad notes this episode. Sometimes I basically just transcribe the episode and I consider those bad notes. So you might need to add a little more flair.
I have good notes.
Good. Katie says there's more than one guy she feels a strong connection with. Highlights Blake in particular. Pleasantly surprised by Blake and their one-on-one date.
This, to me, this whole meeting with the girls, girl talk, was a power rankings sit down, powwow. Let me rank these guys. If you're not on this list, you're
going home. You're nobody.
Because she listed like 5 guys. There was still a bunch of people there, and she didn't talk about them.
She said Greg's a given.
She said Greg's a given. What are we doing here?
I know. Well, Greg, obviously, we don't even have to talk about him. I love him.
Come on. You guys see the connection with me and Greg, you know.
So Katie has this idea. She might kind of a fun idea.
Well, this is first, before that, she mentions, I think it's important to say who she mentioned, because these are the heavy hitters right now. She said Greg is a given, then she says Michael and Andrew. Andrew, to me, kind of seemed like an afterthought. She's like, and of course, Andrew. Mm-hmm. It seemed like she, not really Andrew, but those are the people she listed, and that meant something to me.
And Blake, of course, in addition
Blake,
to.
Yeah, Blake Blake was the first name. Yeah.
Blake's a given.
Blake's also a given. Blake's a given. Craig's a given.
Katie had an idea that she thought might be kind of fun.
Yep.
And she proposes this to Tayshia and Kaylin. The fellas have to withhold their self-care for as long as possible. Thus began a long 10 minutes of
innuendo
and nicknames for pleasuring oneself.
Yes.
At the 7 p.m. hour, the first hour of the episode. Very
I would have appreciated this to be an 8 p.m.
So Kaylin says, I'll tell the guys. And she visits them, and they're all sitting in a room. Katie and I came up with it. She said she wanted me to share with you. It's called Operation Wow. I don't remember why they what the pronunciation was.
It was like stop.
Okay.
That's what they're doing.
My note here is, what has my life come to? Taking notes on a group of dudes tasked with abstaining from masturbatory practices for a television show. Something they didn't expect, and their reaction is being recorded live. So, you know. And I'm also wondering, is this worth it for the guys? If you're like kind of a borderline guy and you got to sit there and you got the camera trained on your face and somebody says, don't touch yourself this week, and you're like not gaining a lot of followers this season, was this worth it? I don't know.
What's the
other
point
note, imagine Chris Harrison coming into a room full of women and be like, listen, ladies, give up the toys. Fun's over. I'm confiscating the stuff. No more. The Bachelor thought it'd be a fun idea if you just didn't pleasure yourself this week. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, come on, hand them over.
Everybody, hand it over.
Come on. Just not something I think would occur. Connor rattles off, I'd say, dozens of synonyms.
The man, say what you want about Cat Guy.
I will.
He has loads of puns at his disposal for anything.
It's true.
It even comes up later in his date. He had puns ready, dad jokes.
That was probably the quickest dad joke pun I've
ever heard.
It was
someone
rapid fire.
Come quicker with a joke that fit.
Again, I ask, how is he going to face his 12-year-old students after this?
Well, the dads, you can't feel good about them either, having to go back and explain this. I mean, nothing.
Nobody else listed off the name.
That's
nicknames,
true.
Though.
That's, yeah, good point.
I got three more things. The offensive thing to me here, AB, is that nothing came of this. This storyline was just like, oh, we're going there. And then there was no who won.
There was no meat to it. This was just like, we're going to do this wild thing, this kooky thing on
this
The Bachelor.
Attraction on the web.
This has nothing. What are you going to do? Tell me the logistics of this challenge.
Are people
How
watching?
Are you going to prove anything?
You got Paulie knocking on doors?
Yeah, what's it matter? If someone breaks it, is she sending them home? What is the stakes?
Yeah, what's the point?
What's the point?
It's like this was going through my head. You know, on, you know, TikTok, AB.
Yeah, I love TikTok.
Nobody's going to know. They're going to know.
Yeah.
How would they know? Also, this doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense at all.
Katie, Miss Sex Positive, is suddenly Aunt Lydia for a week. It doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
That was my takeaway from this. This
doesn't
make any sense.
Fit. Katie doesn't fit anything. Whose idea was this? Worthless idea.
Bad.
One thing I found funny. Right away, people, they barely even know Blake, and they're all like, oh, Blake's going to have some trouble with this one. Holy cow. Blake, what are you going to do? They just met this guy, and they know he's the hornball of the house.
The house hornball. It's Blake. Hey, guys.
Everybody
Blake.
Knows it. It's going to be impossible for this guy.
All right. Date card, Justin. Hunter talking with Greg. Hunter thinks Greg might get two one-on-ones before this came out of nowhere, and I liked it. Hunter knows all about the Bachelorette.
This was, it felt like, to me, Hunter felt like he wasn't on camera, so we were getting a behind-the-scenes conversation here. Like, why was he having this conversation?
Listen, I think we got a top four. I think you're getting the second one-on-one before other guys get the one-on-one, and that spells doom for them.
Hunter's looking at it like we look at it.
Yes.
Outsiders.
Someone burned him like, this guy, you know, is on the Bachelorette message boards. And I thought, man, guy in his 30s cares too much about the Bachelorette. Would hate to be that guy. Yikes. Anyway, he thinks Katie has his top four, her top four set, and then he only names three. So I don't know.
I'm sorry, Hunter did his research.
Yeah, I have more to say about this later.
I don't
understand why this is a bad thing. The guy knows what he's getting into.
What do you mean? If I was gonna go on The Bachelorette, and I hadn't, let's say I had no idea of what the show was like, I can't spend a weekend like watching a few seasons. That seems absurd not to do. In fact,
how does this work? What's the expectation at the end?
Yeah, what is this?
Well, and here, listen, the reality is they all know.
They all know, yeah.
They all know.
Greg's playing it cool, like he doesn't know what's going on.
He's like, what? 2 one-on-ones, do they do that? Yeah, Greg, they do.
Greg, you know you...
And you're getting it.
You know what's going on.
Justin and Katie, do you have anything else on that?
No.
His top three. His top three were himself.
He gives the top three.
Himself, Connor, and Greg. I'd have included Blake in that, but that's because I watch the show and Hunter can't see what's happening. Justin and Katie one-on-one. Katie wants to get to know Justin on a deeper level. Right now, it's just a spark of friendship. Keep that in mind throughout the whole date.
She wants to see if they have more in common than just their fun, playful side.
We got Franco in some sick kind of half-zipped hoodie despite the weather.
That's the most electric outfit I've ever seen. It's like a sequin short robe with nothing
on
underneath.
It looked cold out.
Looked cold, but when you have a piece like that, you just wear it.
You can't leave that in the closet.
You can't leave that. Yeah, I need that.
Franco set that out on the floor like the day before the first day of school. This was his outfit.
Yes. This sequin short robe is what I'm wearing tomorrow. I don't care what the weather's like.
Rain or shine.
I don't care.
Pure laziness. This day, AB. Now, I really like the episode. This is the third wedding photo shoot in a row.
You got to realize a couple things, Rim.
Oh, here we go. Put him in a helicopter.
Bachelor fanboy. Number one, their budget for Bachelorette has always been weak. We've always criticized them for that. Now they have two Bachelorettes. We're splitting the budget in half. They're doing nothing on any of these dates. Don't expect anything to be done on any dates.
Scavenger hunt.
They're not going to do anything that costs money.
Go on a hike. Carve pumpkins. Maybe you cut out the helicopter. I understand if you don't have the helicopter that's expensive fuel.
You don't have the
budget
for the helicopter this year.
There's just other things. I'm just saying, I don't care. That's not an excuse for me. This is we had one on Matt's season and we had one on Tayshia's season. That's three this year. This calendar year, we've had three.
I get it.
All right, that's all I'm saying.
I get it. This wasn't a good date. Don't get it wrong. I'm just saying expectations should be low in 2021.
All right.
For these two Bachelorette seasons. They got two Bachelorettes. They got Bachelor in Paradise. They're going to blow out Bachelor in Paradise because they missed last summer, so they're spending a lot of money there.
Where are you getting these budget numbers from?
The numbers are the numbers, right?
How do you know what
the numbers are? The numbers. You know they're going to blow it out.
Okay. All right. I'm going to hold you to that. Franco gives Justin advice on how to formulate his vows. And no pressure here, Justin. Just make it marvelous, iconic, and something she's never heard before. Now, keep in mind, it's their first date.
Have you ever heard a worse pep talk? First of all, he goes, so what do you got? Well, you just told me about this seconds ago for one. Can I have a second, Franco? And then he's like, well, you better make it all these things.
You better make it iconic. Otherwise.
Otherwise, you're in trouble.
Katie says to the camera she doesn't know much about Justin, so they spend the date on separate benches writing vows. Mm-hmm. Back at the house, we got Aaron, James, and Brendan. Names. I know the names.
Greg leaked it to the mob.
When
Hunter was talking, that's all this was. Greg leaked his one-on-one conversation to the union. Now the whole house knows.
At the same time, this is this kind of is becoming less like a union and more like a mob. Like if you're a lower guy in the mob, like you better spill the information, otherwise it's going to end poorly for you. They don't like how Hunter is a Bachelorette historian. He knows too much about the show, which makes him a sneakster. That's their logic. Right?
Yeah, that's fair. Sure. Not really, but...
In my opinion, they really should have a Bachelorette historian as a contestant on every season, but not make it out to be a negative thing.
No.
just have him like dispensing tips and knowledge.
You should be using this man as an encyclopedia of knowledge that's valuable
rattling off
for
stats,
you.
Deciphering the date card messages after a date card's read. Somebody goes, "All right, Hunter, like, what do you think that is?"
Yeah. Old dates and old contestants.
Well, this happened in this season.
Back in 2006 when Connor did this to them. That's valuable.
They usually have a strip group date on week 3, so you don't want this group date card. Just a heads up, fellas. Oh, you haven't kissed her yet? Yeah, you're definitely not getting a hometown. You have to kiss.
By this date. Stats say it.
When somebody gets the first rose at a rose ceremony, Hunter gives them like a, yeah, dude, that means that's good. They had one... on probably the first Bachelorette season I ever watched, there was like a Bachelor super fan, but he got eliminated night one.
Yep. I remember that.
There needs to be like an Obi-Wan Kenobi of The Bachelor every season.
And he doesn't, I would like him not to even be fighting for love. He's just there providing knowledge.
Guide.
Yeah, he's just there.
Back on the date. Katie comes out in her wedding dress. Justin reads his vows. This is their first date. Katie reads something nice, AB, about painting and a canvas. Justin's the painter, so this just, for me, highlighted a big miss from him. He should have been the painting and canvas vows of the two.
Justin went generic, despite what Franco told him.
It's forgettable.
Nothing he said was memorable. It was not iconic. And it was not something... I think he said that it needed to be something she's never heard before. This is definitely something she's heard before.
Yeah. On just every group date.
Bad vows.
Bad vows from Justin.
Agreed,
good vows from Katie, but they should have been Justin's vows. That's what all that told me. He should have been the paint vows.
I did notice, though, she is interested in the stuff he's interested in and at least remembers that he's the painter guy, because I don't remember that, or I didn't remember that. Mm-hmm. So that was good to see. There might be a little something there.
Back at the house. Descartes is this: Blake, Andrew, Michael A, Greg, Aaron, Mike P, Brendan, James, Trey, Hunter. So Connor gets the one-on-one. That was me doing.
That was a good pause, like they did.
I know. That's why I did it. Just stealing what they did on the show. Connor, cat guy, gets the one-on-one. Surprised by this, AB? What did you think when he got the one-on-one? Like, oh.
I wrote
going
here,
home?
Dead man walking.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. That's what I thought.
That's what I wrote. Especially when they cut to him and he's like, oh, I can't believe she wants to spend more time with me. It's like, no, I think she's trying to figure out if you can stay another second on this show.
Well, and what was a dead giveaway, too, was they'd been promoting all week that there were 5 surprise eliminations. So I thought people were going home on group date. I definitely thought one of the one-on-one people wasn't going home. And at the end of Justin's date, it became clear that Connor was going home because they did that. Because
Justin wasn't going home. Yeah.
Yes. Back to Justin's date. Nighttime. Serious. Katie starts tearing up discussing their wedding date that afternoon because her dad won't be there. Her dad passed away. But there's another layer to this story that we previously did not know, and that's that shortly before her father passed away, she found out he was not her biological father. And now her biological dad wants to be in her life. She's hesitant to build a relationship with him. You know, that's a tough time. You're still mourning the guy who raised you. Yeah. And now you got this other guy trying to step in. That's a hard thing to deal with, I imagine. What do you make of this conversation, AB? If you have anything to say about it.
First thing I thought was, parents need to tell the kids the truth about stuff like this. I don't know. I'm adopted, so I feel like I can speak on this a little bit. But
have the floor on this.
This seems like it would shatter my life if I found something like this out. Like, let's say my mom and dad just acted like they were my biological parents this whole time, and then like 20 years later, they're like, "No, we adopted you. There's other people out here." It just doesn't seem like that'll ever end well.
Do you think that her mom... I took it to mean that her mom was her biological mom.
Yes, that's how I took it as well.
All right.
But
so slightly
dad,
different scenario that you're describing,
different,
but yes.
Different scenario, but it just doesn't... Like, I understand you're trying to protect them of something, I guess. Maybe the dad's a bad guy and you're protecting her from that, but I feel like the truth is always the best way to go when it comes to this type of stuff.
And the timing.
And the timing of everything. And how she, it would have, that would have shook me.
All right. Interesting. If any people in similar circumstances, I'd like to hear what you thought about that segment too. Or yeah. what you think of
where
AB's
do you
opinion
land?
On
do you
that?
Land where yeah. I am I way off base here? I could be way off base.
That's fine. That's fine. Justin says she's incredible, honored that he chose him for the day, wants to get to know her, etc. Justin gets the rose. I'm gonna run through this because I got a big thing at the end. Justin gets the rose. Katie appreciates that he listened to her and thinks he'll be a great husband. She can see herself falling for Justin, he said. Then wow. Some guy named Max, all caps, sings a cool song. They sway and kiss. I'm not going to bullshit you. The song was pretty good. An issue I have with the discussion portion of this date, AB, which you'll remember was the only discussion we saw on the date, the only conversation that wasn't scripted vows we saw on the date. Justin or Katie tells Justin, I'm struggling with the loss of my father. And I have to deal with the emergence of the potential new one. And going through this process and potentially getting engaged and maybe married, there's a lot going on in my head with this situation. Justin basically said, thanks for telling me. And then he got the rose. In real life, what would occur? You'd ask questions. You know, you'd talk Absolutely. With one another. Yeah. The door was open for you to learn more about that story. Maybe talk through how she might handle the situation over the next few months and years. Because she offered that information to you. So it's safe to assume she trusts you to discuss it with her.
Absolutely.
Maybe she's saying, like, ask me about this. We saw Kate, and maybe, I don't know if this is like Justin screwing it up or the show not showing it. You never know. But what we saw was Katie learn exactly zero new pieces of information about Justin the whole date. And then claim at the end of the date that she could see herself marrying him. And that he'll be a great husband. I would have liked to have seen why she thinks that.
Yeah.
That's all.
Agreed.
Because we didn't learn anything about Justin here other than that, you know, he was nice when she revealed
he's still the guy I thought he was before the show, which is just, you know.
The faces guy.
The faces guy. Nothing's changed there. If that's how he actually responded and this wasn't cut up, send him home. Get rid of him.
Hey, it was an interesting, like Katie said, it was a layer to her life.
And yeah.
Another thing we know about Katie, we can form Katie the character in our head, but Justin is flat still after a one-on-one date, which is never good.
Agreed. I don't like that this guy just goes by Max.
Makes him hard to Google.
You got to have a last name unless you're
I found him.
Big.
You go Max Music.
This guy's not
it's
Prince.
It's the first thing
Rim.
That comes up. He's not Prince.
Prince. Maybe throw your last name on there until you get a little bigger, okay? Young man?
He's 29. He's not like a young... Like, he's a veteran in the game. That's the thing. You should have changed it. You should have made your name more Googleable.
Yes. Just Max?
Just Max.
They said it like Maxwell we should Schneider. Know who Max is.
Yeah, I mean, just a little more effort. Also, Max is not... like a unique enough name to just
no.
be that in the music biz.
No, absolutely not. It's not. It's not. That's a bad name for a stage name that you're going with. It's just Max.
Group date, daytime. Sorry, Max. This is a good song.
Justin, she talked about him kissing on her neck or something. I feel like those neck kisses might have changed the game up a little bit for Justin.
She did mention that.
She was shook by them.
The
those neck kisses
up.
Had her feeling a certain way, and that needs to be noted.
They're a good height mix.
It was good height. Yeah, he was perfect neck height. That's a fact. That's a fact. Those neck kisses, something to note.
Yeah, yeah. And with Max there, I mean, how romantic. Group date, daytime. Katie says there are multiple men on this date that she's falling for.
Mm-hmm.
I have here, keep that in mind for later, but I don't know why. I don't know why I have that.
I noted it.
The date is hosted by two drag queens, Monet Exchange and Shea Coulee.
Now, those are some names. You want to talk about names,
okay.
stage names?
Exchange is a fucking sweet name. And like anything,
Exchange,
Rim Exchange.
And it's X. It's X, yeah, too. It's not EX.
Yeah,
it's
not
just
one word.
Monet Exchange. People are holding up the X's when she rolls
Exchange.
Out. That's a good
God.
Name. If it was
Dante
Max
Hall.
Exchange, think about Max Exchange.
Yeah, Max
That'd
Exchange,
be fire.
You can Google that.
That'd be fire. It'd be like,
You're
okay, Max Exchange,
right.
now that guy's a star.
I agree with you. This is not like I'm just following along. I absolutely agree that Exchange is a fire last name.
It's a fire name with the
or
X.
Or name, whatever. If the X is the middle initial, who knows?
Who knows?
Exchange. Doesn't Monet matter. Exchange absolutely rolls off the tongue.
That's a fire
Shea
name.
Shea Coulee, on its own in a vacuum, that's a great name too.
That's
but
great.
Right next to Monet Exchange, it pales in comparison.
Yeah, agreed. Shea Coulee, when they said it, because I think they said that first, I'm like, oh, that's a fire name.
Whoa,
and then
cool
they're like,
name,
Monet,
cool name.
Exchange.
Monet Exchange.
Whoa.
Exchange. Monet Exchange is a star name.
Those are fire. Those are both fire names, but Monet Exchange is one of the best names. Thinking about Max Exchange, it makes
Max
me hate
Exchange
Max
is...
even worse.
You could do a lot of cool things with the X and Max, dude. You could put it, make it one.
Yeah, you really could.
Anyway, the activity is supposed to be it's throwing shade, a roast, if you will.
Yeah.
Again, like Claire season. I don't want to be that guy, but this is the same thing as Claire season.
You take the budget.
You
take
the budget.
Right? You slice it in half, Rim. You move one half over to Katie's season. You move the other half over to Michelle's season.
That's just not
season.
How it works, because they're getting more money
slice
for
it
airing
half.
More episodes.
Slice it in half. Move it over. That's how we're doing this.
AP breaking down the APC budget. This is, again, this is nothing. He has no inside information about this.
This is not inside information.
But he's right.
But
as far as we know.
Slice it. Split the parts.
I thought this was a dud date. No one wanted to roast anybody because they're all too good
at pals. I didn't think it was explained well enough what they were doing to them.
I would agree with that.
People were making up... Some of the guys were writing stuff down like they were going to perform something. Like boring-ass Greg had a lame poem.
That was lame.
But then they started asking him questions. I don't know. I just don't think it was... The whole date wasn't completely laid out for what they were going for.
They started asking questions because they were trying to save the date.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are not doing
Greg
what we
went
asked.
Greg went to start
the fire, turn up the heat.
Greg went and everyone fell asleep, and then the Monet Exchange, or I'm not sure which one, one of them was just like, okay, I'm going to scrap this and just start asking questions. This Greg ruined this.
Pull the eject button.
Yes.
Shay asked who was the least compatible for Katie because they wanted, you know, they wanted to start throwing shade.
Shade, yeah.
Canadian guy Brendan says Hunter's got a top four. He says, I'll say Hunter's got a top four.
I'll do it.
I'll break the ice here. So everyone wants to know who's in Hunter's top four. Hunter says he doesn't have a top four, which is true. He only had three spots penciled in. Hunter has a top three.
He has a top three.
Locked into the top four. He doesn't know who the fourth one is yet. What did you make of Hunter saying he's falling in love? Do you have an issue with that?
Right after he told one of the drag queens that he's not falling in love. I took issue
with
that.
Okay, so I must have missed that. When did that occur?
It was the drag queens were walking around to each of the guys trying to see what they were doing or whatever. None of the guys, again, the guys were coming up with like acts to do for a short period of time. So they were going around trying to figure out what they're going to do. And one of them started talking to Hunter and asked him if he's in love with her. And he said no, flat out.
Dang. All right. Well,
so he lied,
that ruins
right?
my whole Hunter opinion.
I was surprised that he didn't get called out by the drag queen.
Spin zone. What else is he going to do in that scenario on stage? I think you think you're in the top four?
Well, yeah.
You
got to
keep acting like you're in the
no
top four.
In front of everybody.
Yeah. So, yeah, he did lie. He knows the show. He knows what he's got to say to keep going.
I was just going to say, they then just have a lot of back and forth about Hunter.
Not funny.
Clever. Nothing going on here. I didn't laugh one time. The roast was bad. If you're going to do a roast, just do a roast. They've done roasts and they've been funny and entertaining and people get salty about them. But this wasn't explained well enough to even have them do a roast.
And there was no villain. Stay tuned for the mailbag that everyone like Hunter was only a recent concoction of a bad guy.
I noted here who was speaking up. Because there were people speaking up, and then there was a group that just shut the hell up, stay out of this, fall back.
Who stayed out of it?
Andrew, Greg.
I didn't even know Andrew was on the date till the nighttime.
Yeah, Greg was the one he told about the top three, and he didn't even speak up then, okay? And then Michael, the dad.
Of course.
Yeah. Didn't speak
Come
up.
On. He's got kids at home. Come on.
I think that, and I think Mike, I don't remember Mike speaking up either. It was mostly Trey, James, and the Canadian guy that were speaking up.
Yeah.
And then Hunter.
That tracks. Yeah. Those four who didn't say anything. Four who wouldn't say anything.
And take note of those four for later, Rim.
No spoilers,
but I want everyone to note those names.
I had your boring-ass date. And Monet probably upset about this waste of time.
Yeah.
The burns were not worth the price of admission, which was free, or the time it took for them to get ready, which was hours.
The best burns were when Shay and Monet were roasting them at the start. Yeah.
Hunter was absolutely rattled, no matter how...
Yeah.
Hard he tried to convince us otherwise. He knows that getting called out on a group date ends badly.
He knows more than anybody. Yeah.
He knows this is not good.
This is not good. In fact, he tries to distance himself from it. When they are bringing up all this stuff, he's kind of quiet about it. He doesn't fight back. He doesn't say anything negative about them. He's just trying to flip the narrative a little bit back to normal.
No insults.
Yeah.
All right, quick back at the house. Connor gets a one-on-one date card.
Dead man walking.
Group date, nighttime. Katie's toast to start it off. All right, everyone raise your glass. I've heard some things that were concerning. Some of you, we don't have a good connection. Better fix that soon. Cheers to finding love. That was the toast. Some of you are in trouble. Big trouble.
Last chance for most of you dipshits.
Last chance. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's probably nothing that can happen tonight that will change that. We might not even talk.
We might not talk. I'm not interested in talking to you anymore. And you know who you are. Yep. Cheers.
Andrew S., first with Katie. Little icebreaker, he hasn't touched himself since the challenge was instituted.
Okay.
Katie's offended by this. Do you want them to do it or not, Katie? Anyway, they kiss. He's feeling good.
Andrew's feeling, I'd say, too good for where I have him sitting. I don't know. He seems extra confident. He says something about no one else kisses like we kiss.
No one else has what we have.
I don't know, Andrew. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because later we find out that Greg's a better kisser anyways, according to her.
I missed that too.
Okay, so
when did that occur?
That was after everything.
Should we wait till we get there?
No. This was the after what's coming up next, which I did not watch, but I always stick around for
the bloopers.
The bloopers this week was Katie and Monet and Shay talking. And they're asking
her. Tequila.
What?
Drinking tequila.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Boy, we really are mismatched on our notes here today.
Sure. Right. But they ask her if she's kissed anyone, and she says she's kissed all of them, and then they ask who's the best kisser, and she says Greg. So.
That's interesting, because when they kiss later, now we're hopping all the way around. Greg is not. Because of how the night one aggressiveness on the kissing, with Cat Guy in particular, but multiple.
Yeah,
I thought Katie was just that type of kisser. And then you watch Greg and he's not that.
Yeah.
So for her to call out Greg specifically.
I think we took what Cat Guy does kissing and threw that onto Katie.
It seemed 50-50 to me.
But I don't think it is anymore. Maybe she matched his energy.
Well, she was a common denominator because there were multiple. I can't remember who were. There were a couple where it was like, damn,
but
we're just getting it on this season.
None were as aggressive as Cat Guy and her.
No. He's wearing a cat costume. The guy's talking about Katie's speech. Hunter's going on and on about how he's not afraid of them. He should be afraid of them. No one stands a chance against this union. Yeah, and if they're going down, they're bringing you with this union. This is like the NBA. Yes. The players could push out an owner if they want to. The union could get Katie up out of here. They could threaten to walk and be like, you know what? Almost all of us are ready to leave the show. They could do whatever they want. The union, the most powerful force this show has ever seen.
Absolutely. It is.
Greg and Katie. This was an interaction, AB. She tells him to ask her anything because Greg's feeling... Well, he's got the puppy, the sad puppy. Like
he's putting me to sleep, Rim. Right. This guy is a snoozer.
So you must have loved when she tells him, I'm falling for you. And he says, okay. And then they made out. That's what happened. What did you make of that? Good or bad sign?
I just... If you're having trouble going to sleep at night, just turn on a segment with Greg and you'll enter instant REM sleep, REM.
deep
sleep from this guy.
Do you think that's a common... Is that the common
just
opinion?
Saying okay? What, no, that he's boring? No,
That he's boring.
No. I think people love him, don't they?
I don't know.
I haven't been paying enough attention to
I'm trying
people.
To stay out of that.
That's going
to
resolve... I want... My question will be regarding
like Greg?
Some of this. Well, him and...
Don't spoil it.
Yeah. Right. We'll see.
Good. That's a good question. I'm very curious to hear that.
Yeah, I want to know that, but it'll be a two-part question, okay? Because I haven't been paying attention to... There's a lot of stuff going on outside that I'm not paying attention to. I got blinders on. Just the season, moving forward.
Just the season.
Okay.
Aaron, Box Guy, and Trey, talking about Hunter. Trey thinks Hunter knows the playbook you got to run out here. Trey says, it felt performative to me. The I love you, or I'm falling in love with you stunt at the date. Which I responded, Trey, if you can't stomach performative actions, The Bachelorette is not for you.
You got the wrong spot.
You got the wrong show if you don't like performative nonsense. James is the box guy. He's been promoted within union. I don't know if you noticed this. He's now the secretary of the union. Getting a speaking role. He's now moved up from just simply a voting member who pays his dues to now a guy who's drawn a salary from the
salary,
union.
Salary, yeah. It's his job. He quits his other job and now he's full-time union.
Says Katie needs to know if someone is here for the wrong reasons.
When you have a union this powerful, Rim, you got people on salary. Don't get that twisted.
Blake and Katie. Puns, innuendo.
Blake falling back into his joke character from Tayshia's season?
No. Well, maybe.
A little bit. House Hornball? That's House what Hornball. He's been this week, this whole
House
week.
House Hornball is just funny. I don't even care if it's just funny.
Hornball is a funny word.
In itself. Katie explains to him what the whoa is, even though that was explained to him clearly by Caitlin.
Clear's day.
Everyone was on the same page.
Clear's day. I still don't know what the WO stands for, though, because they have to bleep out the last two parts of the acronym.
Week
Do you
off.
Know?
Yeah.
I thought it was...
Sorry, that's it.
But she said it was WO, like W-O-A-H. WO.
No, W-O-W-O. Like, whoa. Nope, week off.
Okay.
Yep, WO.
Do you really need to bleep out WO?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Are you serious? Of course.
Okay.
Kid's gonna go, hey, what's that? Well, it's when you fucking come on, AB. You need to bleep. We're bleeping it out. That's our stance here. Anyway, then they kiss. He goes, should we kiss? I don't know. They kiss.
Blake gives a deep explanation of his normal masturbation
schedule. Yeah, I skipped that part for a reason. I don't like thinking about Blake.
Okay, just wanted to note that.
Blake's schedule.
That's what they talked about. And she seemed
turned on by that. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with these two.
These two have something and I can't explain.
And I don't want to know. I would go get to know each other over there.
Yes.
Y'all can do your weird chats. This ain't for television consumption. I don't care about this. James and Katie. He likes
Katie's
dress.
She's talked
to
the contenders at this point. Now it's time to get into the drama. That's what this was.
It really was.
Let me talk to my contenders first, and then I'm going to get to you other guys that I said that has no chance. Let's talk.
These guys who hang out in the clubhouse, the treehouse all day, coming up with schemes and plans.
He-Man Woman Haters Club.
I don't know what that's from, but it sounds funny.
Little Rascals.
Okay. I'm sure that killed with some people. I don't remember
that movie.
Fellas. All I remember about Little Rascals is who had the thing?
Alfalfa.
The cowlick? Alfalfa had the cowlick.
Just watched Little Rascals not too long ago. They have a He-Man Woman Haters Club. They don't allow women in the club. It's just like this. This union is more focused on the guys and the friendship. And the.
That's
I think they'd prefer to not have Katie there. That's all.
They wouldn't know. Katie could not be around for a couple of days. And then Aaron would go like, wait a second. Where's Katie? They wouldn't realize it. James tells Katie he likes her dress. You do not want a fashion compliment from turtleneck exclusive guy. You just don't. James would never speak ill of anyone. That's simply not his character.
He said, I hope you know how uncomfortable I was up there. James, you looked extremely comfortable up there.
He's playing around.
Ripping into people.
So James spends his week six time with Katie to bring up a right reasons controversy.
After she, at the beginning of the date, said she doesn't know if she's going to get there with certain people, you would assume she's talking about you, James.
Mm-hmm.
As you haven't had a one-on-one, there's people with one-on-ones on this date. She must be talking about me. And he chooses to use his time like this.
Yep.
His last chance. She said it was their last chance. And yeah. This is what these guys decided to do.
He says, Hunter, claiming he's falling for Katie, raises concerns because of the timing. Now, if Hunter lied about it, I don't think James is around for that. If Hunter said he wasn't falling for Katie and then said he did, that's one thing. The timing is unacceptable. This is an acceptable window to say you're falling for Katie. So I don't think the timing really is that big a deal. They tried to make it seem like it's too early.
It's fine time.
No, man. She's falling for guys. Guys are
falling
for her.
He hasn't had a one-on-one date, I guess, but they've had some time together. Shared some kisses and some moments.
Trey tells Katie he obviously lied. Trey says what you said. He flip-flopped on the falling for.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron also shows up. This was Aaron and Katie talking. This was like the keynote speaker at the conference. The head of the union is like there to really hammer home the point that the underlings made. So she pulls Hunter aside. Hunter says, I'm not calculated. I'm just focused on her. The boys. Michael A. says, I talked to Hunter. I really think he cares about her.
Yeah.
This is as ringing of an endorsement as you'll find.
Can't get anything better than that. That should have shut everything down. I don't even really know what we're talking about anymore.
Trey says, doesn't matter if he flip-flopped on falling in love. Respectfully, Trey, who cares?
Who cares?
Why does anyone care?
Here's the thing, Rem. People fall into this all the time. And I think sometimes people confuse not liking someone with them being there for the wrong reasons. Like, no, you guys just don't like Hunter. It's not, he hasn't really done anything that would show that he's not there for the right reasons. Because he knows the show, that means he's not. I'm confused. I don't understand what you guys are talking about. You don't like this guy. So you
I'm
don't
I'm not
want...
even sure they don't like him. They were fine with him for a month.
They liked him a long time. He was, a card-carrying member of the union.
Yeah, he was. He was doing your dirty work.
Now look at him.
This is
now
how
you've turned
repaying?
Your back on him, and you don't like him. So now you're acting like he's there for the wrong reasons. What is going on?
Snake's eating a tail. The snake is eating its tail.
It's the beginning of the end of the union. I'll say that.
Katie and Hunter. Hunter says, listen, the union's out of control. I don't want any drama.
They're bullying everybody.
Katie doesn't feel good, so she takes some time alone. I'm at a point where I'm physically ill, and then she vomits.
Do you think this was from the stress and uneasiness of the situation, or was this from some bad food she had?
This was not related. This could not. If this was related to the situation,
either.
This is a ridiculous overreaction.
Yes.
I think it was more like she was just sick for the night.
Okay.
That is a much more likely explanation that she had bad food or whatever, dehydrated something.
I agree.
Anyway, then Katie comes back, says, I'm not giving out a rose tonight. You got any?
And she didn't talk to a bunch of guys. She didn't talk to Michael. She didn't talk to Mike, if he
Mike
was there.
Maybe?
I don't even know if he was there. I assume he was. Yeah, he must have been. Didn't talk to a few guys. Yeah.
Do you have an issue with that? I mean, if we think that
if
she
she's
was
really
sick, then this makes sense.
If she's really sick, that's fine. If this was actually her reaction to the drama, and that's how they portrayed it, but
I really don't think that's what happened.
There's no way. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. I got to yak.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous Storyworth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves Storyworth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/rosecast. That's storyworth.com/rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase. Connor, one-on-one date. Daytime?
Dong, dead man walking. Bong.
He's got an outfit on where you know he's going home. I don't know why I thought that, but it just looked like he's going to the airport, not a date.
He's heading to the airport. He's got his airport outfit.
This was brutal, AB. This start to finish, the whole Connor date was brutal. First, Katie starts it off by talking about the cat costume. And then she says they're in the friend zone because he stinks at kissing.
Yeah.
That's what this
all is about.
Yeah.
He checks every box except the kissing. And this is when I started to realize, okay, maybe that kissing earlier that we were making fun of and saying that it was ultra aggressive, and maybe it was more cat guy than Katie, as she doesn't enjoy it. I mean, all along I thought, okay, this kissing seems unenjoyable.
I would have thought that was the one thing they had going for him.
Yeah,
that's how much I thought
until this day. Yep. Now it turns out, no, I hate what he's doing.
So Katie and Connor are in the friend zone. Let's spend his one-on-one time with other people. Not a good sign.
No, it's not. She also mentions this is the final test to our relationship.
There's no way he's passing.
And I want to have one last kiss with him. She's saying right there, I want a last kiss. She said it right up front. One last
kiss. That puts that kiss at the end in context.
Even if it's good, it's still your last kiss, she's saying.
Can't debate that.
One last kiss.
All right. Caitlin Bristow and fiance Jason Tardik are here. So Connor can talk to the guy.
Yep.
The guy can like prepare him for what's about to happen. And then the girl can convince Katie that he's not the one. That was the setup for this date.
Can I tell you when I was pretty sure he was going home when she said last kiss. But what really, I thought there was an outside chance he could save this. With one good kiss, who knows? or impress Jason and Caitlin because she trusts them. I thought there was a chance. I'll tell you when I realized when it all went away for him in her eyes as well. They're playing volleyball, 2-on-2, doubles. She is an ex-volleyball player. sets him up for the perfect spike rim. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? He jumps about a fourth of an inch off the ground and slams it underneath the net. Not even close to getting it over. That was it. You're done.
You really think that? You really think that was it?
You're done.
Or is that a joke?
It was embarrassing. It was an embarrassing spike attempt. Embarrassing. That was it. For me, I knew it. He was never coming back from that. He slapped it underneath the net. It wasn't even into the net. Like, she perfect bump up to the spike. Yeah. And he tried to, he was lined up
for it.
Did
she set it or bump it? Did she set it or bump it?
I believe she bumped it, but it was a perfectly, she bumped
it
perfectly.
Well, the fact that he even went for a spike instead of setting it up for
her. He was set up for the spike. He was set up. He jumped. He didn't get any air. And he barely hit the ball into the net. Humiliating.
A couple things from this date. They did the volleyball, then they did the rock between the torsos. It could have been a potato. I don't know. Caitlin was trying to convince Katie that being friends at this, it might have been a coconut. Caitlin was trying to convince Katie that being friends at this point was a good thing. I mean, the storyline just played out how you knew it was going to play out. Then the date turned into a bad rom-com when the boys are grilling steaks with like aprons on. They're like talking about girls, and you know, then the established couple spies on their goodbye kiss. Yeah. It was straight up a rom-com. Caitlin said, and now this is all making sense, if they don't have a good kiss, it's over. I thought that was like, haha. No, really.
I don't think a kiss could have saved it at this point. I really don't. She's not feeling him. He's in the friend zone. She likes him as a person, but not as a potential mate, period. Mm-mm.
I thought there was a chance she was going to break up with him here, but they did kiss, and there was triumphant music. They just wanted that moment, but I thought it might have been over there.
Yeah, would have sent him home right after the kiss.
Yep. The nighttime portion that never was. Connor super confident getting ready. Meanwhile, Katie's crying in casual wear.
He's got his best suit on.
Yeah. Imagine making him get all dressed. I mean,
couldn't
all
you get that? Couldn't you do that before he got dressed?
Just a little courtesy.
Yeah.
Producer's watching, like, yeah, don't forget the cufflinks, buddy. Like, jeez. That's rude. This is mean. Katie shows up to his room, sits down. She starts telling Connor how good of a guy he is. Really like the song he wrote for her, which I don't buy, but that was a nice thing to say. Connor says it's okay. I know where this is going. I get it. She tells him, AB, when they kiss, something is missing.
Oh, no.
Absolutely brutal thing reveal to his face on television, in my opinion. This guy has put his whole mind, body, and soul into these makeouts, only to be told they're booty on television.
And here's the other really unfortunate thing. Connor, those are probably, like, the tipping point for most of your relationships. That's what he's thinking in his head.
He's thinking that in his head,
like
geez,
damn, I thought
dude.
I was a good kisser, but that might be why why these other relationships didn't work either.
He's totally reevaluating. He's running through all his big makeouts in his mind, all the memorable ones
that he thought were good makeouts.
Well, did this stink?
I stink at kissing.
He's crying. He said it was worth it to his mentor. You know, nice guy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's true. I'd have rather not been told I stink at kissing on television.
I prefer that.
Just getting to know a new acquaintance, not worth being absolutely humiliated.
Humiliated.
On TV.
She basically says in her cutscenes throughout the whole date, she really wanted to get there with him, but the kisses were just simply too disgusting.
That's what she was saying.
They were simply too disgusting. I just could not get past it.
I mean, this was awful.
This is one of the worst breakups in terms of the guy
embarrassing,
looking.
Embarrassing. Level of embarrassment.
Yeah. Level of embarrassment. This is one of the worst we've seen.
She phrased it like, when we kiss, something's missing. Or
no,
you know,
we know what
it wasn't
mean.
Like the kisses are bad. She didn't flat
to
out say
camera,
that.
To the camera, she might as well have said that.
She might as well have said that. So I thought maybe Connor isn't taking it that way. But no.
No,
he's crying to the camera
that.
And he says, how bad of a kisser am I?
Yeah.
I felt so bad for him.
I felt terrible for Cat Guy.
In my opinion. Made for good television.
It was great, yeah. I enjoyed it.
You could have just said, hey, something's missing.
There was no reason
to
bring
so
the kisses up
about this.
It's not necessary.
She just was like, you're great. Check all the boxes. Your kissing is so horrible. It is untenable. We can't even do the second half of the date. Yikes. All right. The big goodbye scene
with the fellas. The cat guy goes to say goodbye to the fellas, period.
And Trey's never been so sad in his life.
Trey's not just crying. He's ugly crying. He's broken up by this.
Before that, on his way out, Connor, after he hugs everybody, says, "There's no better person for Katie than you guys."
Okay? Which one?
Yeah, there's like 11 of them.
Yeah.
I have a feeling the fellas being totally distraught over Connor's leaving was probably well received by the viewers. I found it to be a little over the top. You're going to see him in a couple weeks. And by the way, all of you are leaving in the next 8 days.
Especially the couple of guys that are about to, like Trey, you didn't talk to her last time. You're leaving.
You're next, pal.
You're going to leave in a day. You'll probably be on the same flight as Cat Guy, in fact.
You absolutely are.
What's the problem?
There's been this trend on Bachelorette, especially when a guy leaves that everyone likes, everyone goes, "Oh man, he's such a good guy, such a good." So, the lead's here to find a life partner.
So what?
Who cares? You're not here to give awards for the. You're not here to rank the best guys. Try to find someone to spend the rest of her life with.
If you would have saw the kisses, if y'all guys would have seen those kisses, you would have wanted them gone too.
Anyway, Katie crying in her room.
Crying her eyes out.
This was the checked all the boxes.
Yeah.
They're just missing one thing, and it's when their lips touch. That's Blake Moynes' music. Producer Plant Blake, willing to do anything and everything, and I'm so glad he did this. I erupted. I almost applauded when he came out.
This is great. The boom box.
Blake's outside her room with the stereo over his head, playing their song from their one-on-one
date. Their song. I noticed that, yeah.
Says, come on
gets
up.
Gets the invite. Come on up.
Of course. Walks away without turning it off, which makes me think the music... There's no
I
music
don't think
playing.
The music was... What?
Katie, absolutely thrilled to see him. They share a great kiss. I said there's a non-zero chance they hook up tonight. What did you think of...
She couldn't give her hands off him.
This was leading somewhere.
Katie said she didn't know how romantic Blake could be, and she says she's in trouble. If you say you're in trouble... Woo.
Hometown.
Hometown, period. If you're talking about someone and you say, "I'm in trouble," because they're there, they're going to hometown. Fantasy suite, for sure.
Fantasy suite.
For certain.
Katie was so excited to see Blake, she wonders aloud if she's dreaming. This is Blake Moynes we're discussing. Quite the 180 for Blake Moynes.
The hornball.
He tells her... Let's make it very clear. Producers told Blake to do this.
Yes.
I'm glad he did it. It was a great scene. Producers also told him what to say, which was, "Hey, Connor came in, told us everybody was feeling bad for him, but I was only thinking about you, Katie." Wow. They make out outside on the balcony. Katie says the best surprise ever.
Wow.
With Blake, there's just overflowing passion.
Blake says he feels like he's in his own love story with Katie. And can't wait to have his happy ending. And I'm starting to think it might be a possibility here, Rem.
Won't find me saying that's a bad prediction. You won't.
You won't. You won't.
Best scene of the night, in my opinion.
Agreed. It was great.
Cocktail party. Katie says the week was tough. She had to send Connor home. Had to.
Had to. I had to. Guys, I know you like this guy, but you'll find out in due time why I had to.
I'm at the point where time isn't going to make a difference tonight. So get you bums out of here.
I already know what I'm going to do. I want to be intentional with what I do going forward. The cocktail hour is canceled.
Have we made the joke? Did we make the joke on Peter season that this was like P. Diddy closing the studio every other day?
We have definitely mentioned closing the studio, but I don't know if it was in this context.
Well, that's what happened, because all these cocktail parties and dates getting canceled, this is PD saying, "You know what, we're shutting the studio
down from the Chappelle Show sketch. That wasn't just a sketch. That was real. That was debate.
It was real. That was not real. Exaggeration. He shut the studio down every episode.
I'm going to shut the studio down because y'all are wiling and you don't deserve this studio time. Now go get me some cheesecake across the Bronx Bridge or wherever the hell they were.
Katie cancels the cocktail party.
Yep.
Rose ceremony, unless you have anything else there.
Nope.
Justin is the only one with a date rose.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, with an extremely long pause before the first rose, calls Hunter to chat outside. They basically didn't show anything about this discussion. No. We don't know what happened. They return. Hunter is back with the guys without a rose. What did you think that meant?
He's going... What was the point? I thought he was just going to stick around.
I did too.
Because of this. I don't know why you would send him back in there for the embarrassment instead of just sending him home when you pull him aside. I don't get that.
I thought him coming back with no rose and standing with everybody meant that she's sending the union. She's breaking up the top dogs.
Yeah,
she's
and gonna... he'll get the last rose.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the rose order. Blake, Andrew S., Greg, Michael A., Mike P. The last rose is Brendan.
Who?
So the union is busted.
If you're cutting everybody, why not send him along too? Just what's the point of keeping him?
Sweep those roses off the podium there and be like, we're good.
No, we're actually good. No more roses.
Can't give this rose out.
You can head out too. Brendan?
Brendan is a top seven guy.
Incredible.
Union's busted.
Union is dead.
James, Trey, and Aaron, union guys.
The head of the union. And some higher up members.
Cut the head off the snake.
Cut the head off and it's gone. It's gone. Yeah. It's done.
And Hunter as well.
We noted it earlier. Who are the people on the group date that were in the drama? It was Aaron, James, Trey, and Hunter. Those four all gone. Just cut it all out. I'm not trying to deal with this. I had some bad sushi for dinner. And
that's what happened.
I'm not even going to deal with this. I'm going to send them all home. I don't want to get to the bottom of it. I don't want to deal with this. See you later.
So there are seven people left. Here's how I see it. There are five contenders. These are not my power ranks. There are five contenders. Greg, Blake, Andrew S., and then Michael A. and Justin are the borderline. Brendan and Mike P. obviously have no chance at hometowns. Although there are some previews that make it seem like Mike P.
I still think Mike P.'s going to get his time in the sun here. I'm not.
I do too. But like I said, I think it'll be story-based more than... connection based.
Okay.
That's my prediction anyway.
That's fair.
Brendan is the most, he sticks out like a sore thumb here.
I don't know what he's doing here. He must be like, I don't know what I'm doing here with all these people. They cut all these people and I made it? This is wild.
All right. Anything else before we get to the mailbag?
It's becoming increasingly clear we're not getting a 2-on-1 this season.
Didn't even think about
it's a little
that.
Disappointing, but it's whatever. Sometimes it doesn't happen. You don't want it to be forced.
I think they're moving away from 2-on-1s in general.
Yeah, probably.
Because if they're not going to have villains.
Yeah.
Or true villainry.
We'll see. It might just be a one-off.
Here's the mailbag. 773-234-7794. Last week's question was, does the show need a villain? I thought this was a good question, AB.
Thank you.
Because I think the show is in the midst of a change right now, and I'm interested to hear what people think of it. First one is from Tamanga. Thanks to everyone who texted in. First one is from Tamanga. Yes, we need a villain every time. The asshole antics and downright high and mighty attitude of a villain for both Bachelorette and Bachelor are what gives the level of guilty pleasure this show is supposed to give. And on this season, it just haven't given what it is supposed to give. Don't get me wrong, I've been a fan and always will be, but this season is definitely missing that asshole villain through line that makes the season juicy and better to talk to coworkers and friends about. Thank you, Tamanga. This is from Nicole in Nashville. As far as the villain goes, I think they are a bonus to the season. In parentheses, if you take out that their real life is miserable and just focus on the entertainment factor of the show. I think having a villain is another touch that adds a spark to the season, but only when it makes sense. This group of guys, there is just no villainous character. I think the mini bad guys, M-I-N-I, as we go, works because it's authentic, in quotes. Not the real meaning of the world, but in the batch world. I'm enjoying this season, but I don't think it would be better if there was a Chad. Oh man, if Blake could turn into a Courtney type from Ben F's season, I would be in though. Thank you, Nicole.
Hey, Nashville, shout out to my guy, listener, Justin. I think he lives in Nashville. He sent me the most detailed, I've been meaning to say this, most detailed recommendations list I've ever received for places to go. Just incredible list. So shout out Justin.
Shout out Justin. Molly from Kentucky. I like this one. Molly from Kentucky. I watch The Bachelor every Monday to feel better about myself. If there's no villain, you're telling me I'm supposed to be watching a show truly about super hot people actually trying to find love? No thanks. Thank you, Molly. This is from Michael. Yes, The Bachelor Bachelorette needs a villain. Hannah B. had the best season in recent memory, and Luke P. being an all-time villain was part of the reason. A villain gives the lead a chance for a big moment when they tell him or tell them off. Hannah wouldn't have had her move the podium moment without Luke P. Parenthetically, I will add, the move the podium moment was great because it didn't feel planned. It felt real. It felt like Hannah being Hannah. It wasn't staged like I think most of those are.
Yeah.
It's also no coincidence that all the best Marvel movies have interesting villains. Thanos, Loki, and Zemo make their respective movies better, and a great Bachelorette villain makes a season better. Thank you, Michael. Jenny from New York. I'm probably in the minority here, but I would much rather watch a season without a strong villain. Matt's season of The Bachelor was almost unwatchable because of all the drama. I'm really enjoying watching the men cry and have deep talks with each other, and definitely prefer that over watching a bunch of people being mean to one another. Thank you, Jenny. Zach and Ashlyn from North Carolina. In terms of the NBA, the season is more exciting with a good villain. However, like this season of the NBA, with all the villains out, aka the Nets, the level of competitiveness is better. So I think without a villain, it's actually more competitive, and real serious fans like myself should appreciate the drama-free, competitive season. Go Hawks. Threw me off. I'm North Carolina.
Go Hawks.
I'm not even sure what Hawks you're talking about. Probably Atlanta.
You're talking about Kate. What Hawks are you talking about?
I'm like, the Hawks.
You're talking about Kate. That.
I think every season needs a villain, mainly because this season would be boring without it. I kind of like the mini villains they are doing this season. With a group of people that big living together constantly, the personalities are bound to clash. Seeing that interaction adds an element of reality, in quotes, to the situation. That being said, sometimes the villain role is too intensely harped on. The storyline can become stale, and it becomes obvious production is forcing the lead to keep them around for drama. This season's mini-villains keep it interesting while not taking away from the overall storyline. Nothing is more tedious than watching the same petty drama over and over every week. Thank you, Kate. Miranda from Jacksonville. I'm so happy they have steered away from the useless villain this season. Thinking back to Corinne, I was irritated constantly that she stayed as long as she did, and actually thought about not continuing to watch if Queen Victoria stayed another week. They are over the top with how they are portrayed and completely obvious that they are producer plants, especially when these villains have no connection at all, but just stay for the stirring up of drama. Thank you, Miranda.
Rim, do you like the villains that are like mean or the ones that are... Because you have some that are just like do stuff to that other people don't like Demi would almost be considered a villain.
Sure.
Or what's his name? Jordan. Just that rich guy that was doing stuff to piss people off. Jordan Kimball is his last name. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know?
Yeah, you remember. Jordan? I remember now.
Or do you like the people everyone genuinely hates and do like mean stuff and I don't know.
I don't know how to answer that question. I think it's better when there is true friction in the group. Otherwise, I really don't want to watch everyone get along. That's not
what you watch reality TV for.
I think Tamanga in her first text said it. There's a reason we call these shows guilty pleasures. We're not watching them. I think there's a push now to watch like something that's more wholesome than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
And I think the show is in a tricky spot right now with trying to please those people while also trying to have the static and friction that comes with people not getting along. And I think the latter is more interesting.
Agreed.
Than gumdrops and rainbows or whatever you want to say.
It has to be. It just has to be the right villain. It can't be like Victoria was. I'm glad someone brought her up. That just felt forced. Like, she seemed like she was on there to be the villain. There are some special personalities that just rub people the wrong way. And those are the people that I want to be my villains. But yeah, I do agree. I think there needs to be villains and more. I don't think this season really had one. They're trying to drop little ones, but they didn't have a main one. And I think it's the season is suffering from it. It has to be someone the lead likes, too. So they have to have some redeemable qualities. I think that always makes the season better.
Miranda mentioned Corinne. I'm sure we were, you know, we joked about Corinne and I probably didn't like her when we were watching, but I think she was a compelling character.
Absolutely.
She made it far. She made it to hometown. So, and she was funny. So it's a tough needle to thread because you can't be too mean or people will be totally turned off by it. but you also have to like make, you have to be not very well liked. I read this article at Vanity Fair that someone sent us. I'll get the name in a minute, but it was about Frankenbiting when they splice up the words, and Spencer Pratt was going on about how they spliced up what he said to make it sound like he said something totally lewd about Heidi that he would never say, and it became a story, and he didn't say. Yeah. And he said, like, that messed my life up because people to this day come up to me upset that I said this thing that I never said.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a thin line for production to create and also mm-hmm. without, you know, crossing a line. Anyway, last one, Amy from Illinois. Can there be a season of the show without a villain? I don't think so. I think with any competition show, there will be a villain, whether intentionally planted or not. There are always going to be people who don't click, and especially when you're in this kind of setting where real feelings are on the line and you're away from your support system and any sense of normalcy, people are going to go get catty sometimes and feuds are going to happen. I suppose the producers could only cast people who are normal and who they think would get along, but that doesn't make for great television. I think it's good to have the odd or arrogant people at the beginning because they keep it entertaining while you grow to like and know the serious contenders. When that happens, the show is still enjoyable once the villains leave because you know the remaining contestants better and you're invested. You're interested not just for the drama, but for the fate of the remaining relationships. Thank you, Amy. Well said. Anything else to add on that, AB?
No, I don't think so. Those are great.
Do you have, what's the question for next week?
Do you like Greg? I want to know what's the situation with Greg. What's the buzz on Greg? Do people love him or hate him?
I don't think anyone hates him.
And if you don't answer that, just give me. I just don't know what's going on. Who do people like out here? Who do people like on this season? Okay. Fill me in what's going on. Did you like Cat Guy? Also, that's another one. Did you like Cat Guy? Just like answer him? Whatever you want in terms of who you like or dislike.
773-234-7794 is the mailbag text.
Here's the headline, Rim. Kind of fits in with this. Funny headline. No substance to it. Bachelor Nation may never recover from this week's Bachelorette elimination. This is why I started to realize, like, maybe I have no finger on the pulse of what's going on.
That's
in terms
clickbait,
of
AB. No, come on.
Katie Thurston, here's the first paragraph of the article. Katie Thurston didn't just send home a fan favorite on July 12th episode of The Bachelorette. She sent home a house favorite, too. Everyone was devastated to see Connor, the cat, in parentheses. Did people call him the cat? I saw a few articles that were like, damn, you won't believe who they sent home. Everyone's favorite, the cat guy.
What website is that?
This is Refinery29, my site. It's rare for that to happen because usually someone going home means less competition, but these men adored Brennan, and that's what made this devastation or this elimination.
They call him Brennan?
Brennan. Oh, his last name is Brennan.
Oh.
Connor the Cat Brennan. There's only one the cat, and it's Julie the Cat, okay?
Yeah.
First of all. Yeah. And they said that's what made this elimination all the more devastating. And then there's a whole article that I read about why this was such a devastating elimination.
You got to crank out articles. You got to serve ads.
Who's the fan favorite, would you say? That's really what I want to get to the bottom of. Who does everyone like?
Okay, who's your fan? Who do you think the fan favorite is, and who's your fan favorite? Okay. There might not be one.
Yeah, there might not be. There really might not be.
Interesting. All right. The article that I referenced earlier was sent to me by Anam, and it's from Vanity Fair, and it's called "They Murdered Me," in quotations. That was what Spencer said.
:
Reality TV stars push back at producer's cheapest trick. And there's a little bit of Bachelor in there. There's also other shows where they're examples of Frankenbiting and the people talking about how
that's dirty
sucked for them.
That should be illegal.
Here's the problem, though. They've done it for so long. So if they stop doing that, like, I need the hit. You know, now no one's saying anything outrageous anymore. I don't know how to explain it. You know what I mean? Like, they can't go clean now.
No.
Once they dipped into the sewer, you can't come back out here up in the,
you
know, the clean street.
Once you do it once, you're going to keep doing it. Because you can just make them say anything.
All right, back to Batch Bracket. Ethan L. is once again alone in first.
Wow.
Starting to
2 weeks
get
running.
Suspicious, in my opinion. Ethan L., 156 points. Stephanie C., Sarah Grace A., have 152. Shaylee W., Asa B., Helen L. have 150 points, and May B. have 148. Abs G has 147. We'll throw that one in there too. Ethan L. with 156. I'm not ready to call for an investigation yet.
We're approaching
it. We're getting there. I have 109 points, and Trey is my second place finisher, so this is probably the last update I will give on my... No, Thomas was. Holy smokes. Greg, Thomas, and Trey were my top three, and I had an extra week.
I have 116 points. I'm in 267th place. I think Connor B. was my winner, though, so I'm done.
Yes.
He was my winner.
Yikes, yikes, yikes. All right.
Really unfortunate.
Power rankings. You ready?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Number four, Andrew. Number three, Michael the Dad. Number two, this one, Rim, this is going to send a shockwave through Rosecast Nation. Number two is Greg, Rim. Number one, and who I think is going to win the season now, Blake Moynes. I think their personalities are match. The times they have are better than the times she has with Greg, and I think eventually she's going to realize that. Those two just seem too alike.
Ding, ding, ding. Too alike. Here are mine. Recap yours. Blake 1, Greg 2, Michael 3, Andrew 4. Mine, no changes from last week.
Wow.
4, Michael. 3, Andrew. 2, Blake. 1, Greg.
Wow.
I'm sticking to my Greg is too safe. Or Greg is too safe to like be interesting on the show. So now she's playing around with Blake. And that's really it. It's just, you know. No one else is really getting a ton of shine.
If you have
right
these
now.
Two guys where one of them is fun and the other one's not, why would you pick the not fun one?
I don't know, IB. I don't know.
That's all I'm saying.
I think there's a chance Michael A. doesn't get a hometown only because kids are involved. But I also think they might want to show that. So Justin would be fifth. Justin is in contention for the fourth hometown spot. And the only reason is I think the kids, Michael A. having children, or at least one kid, I don't remember, would make it more complicated or maybe more serious for Katie.
If you are going to, you have to be really serious about him if you're going to send him to hometowns, because then you're going to meet his kid and then you can't send him home for another couple weeks. So that's entering into like your top two. So unless you're really, really serious about Michael and you see him as like a top two, top three person, that's a good point. Really good point by you.
Thank you.
He might be going home here in the next couple weeks.
I don't think it'll happen, but...
maybe.
All right, anything else? Refer a Friend Month going well. Keep it going.
Halfway through Refer a Friend Month.
We see everything. We see what you're doing.
We see
don't
you.
Don't worry about it.
We see you.
We see him. Anything else, AB?
I don't think so.
All right, cool. Appreciate you listening. Talk to you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.